Hello, everybody. It's me, your lovely host, Josh Reach, coming to you from the future. And you may have noticed this title of this first episode says revised, or it will by the time I get done recording all these little bits in here. But I wanted to revise this first episode because I started this podcast a little over a year ago now, and I feel like there's been a lot of things that I've learned. Some things that I've actually started to talk about in this first episode that I have different perspectives, better ways of actually describing things like how the product world operates, the difference between UX design and product design and UI design and why UX research is important and all that good stuff. It was a little weird. Granted, you know, we're all a little rocky in our first episodes, but I also know that a lot of you like to listen to the first episode of a podcast. To start a podcast, not the latest episode, but the first one. So I felt like this could be a fun opportunity to jump in. I'm going to share some of my newer perspectives and definitions, and then let you listen to some of the older recordings from the very, very first version of this episode back in 2018. And what's neat about this is I want to share kind of, instead of just scrapping the whole first episode and re-recording it, I want to share like what my original definitions and thoughts and explanations were like, so that you can see and hear how like we're always evolving and changing the way we think about things and the way we define what we do and our perspectives. We learn new things. So I may actually do more revisions of this later on. It might be a revision 2, revision 3. I don't know. We'll see. This could be a very long episode, though, if I keep adding more stuff to it. I promise I won't do that. So let's jump into this. My name's Josh Reach. Welcome to Design Chat with Josh. This is a podcast all about design. And yes, first and foremost, I do work in product. I'm technically a UX designer on paper. In practice, a product designer responsible for the complete life cycle of a product or feature being created, but we'll get to that in a minute. And this is literally just a podcast about design. I have a very extensive visual design background. I work as a graphic designer in marketing and branding in-house and did some freelance work for many, many years, a little over 10 years. And then I made that switch into product and started my first role in product design as a UX designer for a health and wellness company in Arizona. Very grateful for that opportunity and all the support from those people that helped me kind of achieve that dream. So you know who you are. I love you all. Anyway, let's get started by first defining my now current perspective of the difference between product design, UX design, UI design, and all that good stuff. And then I'll let you listen to what I thought, what I would define it as back in 2018. All right, so we're going to kick off this episode, like I said, with the definition, my definition, okay? And I will preface this by saying my definition may not always be right, okay? And I want everybody, this is the thing about this podcast, is I always like to open it up and ask what your opinions and your ideas, what your thoughts and professional experience is on a lot of the topics I talk about. So if you have a different definition for product design, UX design, UI design, research, then please, by all means, share it with me and share it with the world. You can call in with a voicemail here on the podcast if you're listening on Anchor. There's literally like voice messages you can leave. I might feature them later in a future episode. And you can also tweet at me, my handle on Twitter, my handle on Instagram, my LinkedIn is another way you can connect with me, all just Joshua Reach, R-E-A-C-H. You can find me real easily. I love hearing from all of you, and there's been some interesting, challenging perspectives. But my definition of these things. First thing you should know, I use UX design and product design very interchangeably, and it's only because a lot of UX designers, including myself, are hired on and given the title UX designer, but we're actually responsible for what a product designer does. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, because it is kind of muddying up the industry and the understanding of what UX really is, but I also look at it as kind of an evolution of UX designers, you know, where we may have always stuck in our swim lane of just focusing on the user experience, which I like to define as basically everything that happens before you can actually see a physical, interface, right, or product. So it's the actual, the research, the flow, the objective and goal of the user, the person that's interacting with whatever you're creating. So for example, a mobile app, and then, you know, what tasks they're trying to achieve, what you're trying to help them accomplish, and creating the path of least resistance to get to those goals or finish those tasks. That's ultimately what UX is. It's everything that happens before you actually can see something happening, right? And that may be like, I heard that on Twitter and it kind of stuck with me. And then later on, you may end up creating some wireframes. You might create some, you know, user flows or map out like a user journey or something like that. Think flow charts and things like that. But the UI design then steps in, and that's what most of us associate with UX design, I think, and it's a little wrong to associate only UI design, but it is a component. It's basically a tool of UX design. It's the next step. After you define that experience and you understand the goals and objectives and you understand the people you're designing for, and you create that path of least resistance, you move into actually designing the UI. And that's where some companies will actually split out the UI designer role separate from the UX designer. Me personally, I think that's a little archaic nowadays because we have a lot better tools, a lot better, not just tools of research, but tools to prototype and tools to design with. Like Adobe XD, Sketch, Figma, Principle, I mean, you name it. There's tons of great stuff. Envision's been around for eons, right? The tools are getting faster and better, so we can take on more responsibilities and be more multifaceted as designers. But some companies will split that. You know, UI design is separate than UX design. That's fine, right? And they'll also, usually companies that do that will often split that before you get to the UX design. The actual research will be a separate role as well. Seeing the research is still pretty prominent with a lot of larger companies, but they're now going from like research to product designer. but anyway, so that's kind of, you know, the UI design is like, it's this next step in the overall kind of product life cycle, like of creating a product and creating we'll talk about digital products here, right? Creating that app, you know, you're creating the interface. So where does product design come in? Well, I like to refer to myself, and usually when people ask, they're like, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a product designer. Oh, what products? I make digital products, you know, like apps, you know, mobile apps, web apps, websites, things like that. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. If I say UX design or user experience design, they're like, well, okay, what? And because the word designer is in all of these titles, I feel like no matter what you call us, people are always going to think we just make stuff look pretty. And even for UI design, like, that's not necessarily the case. Like, UI designers, yes, they make stuff look really good, right? But there is also a way that UI designers help, they help make the actual user experience better because they can create less friction. They can create things that are more, not just delightful, but easier to navigate. Things that can be consumed better or can be, you know, kind of discovered easier than just a simple wireframe can mock up, right? But anyway, so product design is usually what product designers usually refer to myself to, because product designers, from what I've seen, everything that I've seen, the product designers that I know as well, the role is really, you are involved from the beginning to the end. There is no point where you hand off a project and let somebody else take it from there. You are involved in the initial discovery phase of opportunities and creating solutions and shaping a vision with a product manager or product owner. And then you are also responsible for the research, or you partner and work with a researcher that you have in your company, but you're still ingrained in that research, and you have to analyze that and you have to understand like what the research is showing. To then define the UX, which is where, you know, you get involved in all the interaction designs and the flow of the user, the journey, all that stuff. Then you get into the prototyping and maybe some quick rough prototypes. Me, I personally have learned that creating higher fidelity prototypes, not massively high fidelity, don't spend too much time, you got to be quick about it, but some higher fidelity prototypes actually help get you better results. And then the product designer will move into deeper interaction design. They'll work into more refined UI. And then they're continuing to work with the developers and engineers when needed to help get to the final execution of the product or feature. they're involved in everything. They have that complete and total kind of perspective and outlook of the whole thing. They're not necessarily the product managers. No, that's another episode. I'm not going to get into that. But they do have a lot more responsibility. And again, I think this is because we have a lot more tools that we can use now, and things are a lot easier and faster for us to do. And so it kind of helps, I feel like, to have somebody that's one person or a smaller group of people that are involved and ingrained in the full, project, basically, that you're taking on. To work, in terms of designers, one or two designers, right, to be involved in that. There's value in it. And you may disagree with me. That's totally fine. I've heard some really good cases for not having that. But that's just my definition and perspective. Now, here's the fun part. This is 2019, right? November 2019. This is my current perspective of this stuff. Now you get to hear what my definition of all these things in a very weird, awkward, stoic and strange back in the first episode back in 2018. But here's what my definition of all this stuff was back in 2019. In 3, 2, 1, now. So here's what we really should address first before we get into everything else that I want to talk about today. And that is, what is product design? And what is UX design? And what is UX UI? What is UI design? What is interactive design? What is UX research? A lot of people have different opinions and different justified reasons for separating some of these things out and defining what they are. So I'm going to define these titles, these types of designer positions myself, and just from my own experience. Now, my current title is User Experience Designer, but you'll often hear me refer to myself as a product designer and working in product. And the reason why is because I don't just do UX design, okay? UX design, user experience design, is pretty much exactly what it says it is. It is the actual experience, the interactions. There is a psychological aspect. There's this studying of behaviors and patterns that people have, whether they know it or not, how they're interacting with something, okay? And how you want to make that experience as friction-free as possible and get the user to do the tasks that not just you want to do, but they want to do as well. And then there's UI design. And to me, UI design is a part of the experience. It's a part of UX. It almost is a tool of UX design. But because it can become so big, a lot of companies will separate those out. A UX designer and a UI designer will be two different people doing working on the same project, which in terms of time and actually creating stuff is glorious. But not every company can actually hire multiple people like that and separate out those positions. So you get this mishmash of a UX designer and a UI designer, which I refer to as a product designer. So I'm a UX designer, but I also work in designing user interfaces. I also work in doing user research and the testing part, which can also be separated and pulled out into a whole nother position, which you'll often see again in larger companies like Google or Facebook or just massive companies that have a big budget and they can really invest into their design team. They will hire a user experience researcher who is doing the testing and the research alongside the UX designer, alongside the UI designer. And it's this big team effort. It's pretty amazing. But most of the time, you'll hear me refer to product design and product designers, which are the unicorn designers that can do it all and will usually execute on all those areas because company budgets and maybe just companies don't quite see the value in investing in that right now. So that's my definition. Product design is UX and UI in one, plus research or two, and UI is a tool, in my opinion, of UX design. And if anybody disagrees or has any other definitions of this, I am so open to hearing them and totally changing my views on this because it seems like it's always in flux. It seems like it's always in debate, I guess. There's some things you just can't debate, though. Like, to me, user interface and the visual aspect of an interface plays with people's emotions and draws them to do certain actions. So to me, it is a critical part of user experience, but it is by all means not the only part of the user experience. So we'll just put that out there in the world before we move on to anything else. All right, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. Like I said, like, we learn things. We're always learning. This podcast, you should know, is me constantly learning and evolving as well, but just sharing this experience and the advice and knowledge that I have. The whole point is I really am hoping to inspire some of you listening as well to write or create your own podcasts so that we can continue to share our perspectives and challenge each other's views and thoughts and definitions of what we should be doing and who we are as designers. So yeah, interesting. Like I said, very stoic. I don't know why I was so serious back then. I don't know, the awkwardness of podcasting in the early days. I don't know. Anyway, this next bit, I'm not going to really go through that much. I actually just am going to leave it at what it was, but I basically go into the difference between visual design and product design. And kind of back in 2018, when I first started this podcast, what my perspective was after a few months of finally practicing as an actual full-fledged designer in the product world, you know, what the differences were and some of the things I saw that were valuable to bring over from my visual design career into product design. And it was interesting. So I'm not gonna say much more other than just listen. It's an interesting perspective, I think. Not too much has changed, I guess, in terms of my view now of like kind of the differences between visual and product design. Other than the fact that, you know, it's product design is much, much more than just the visuals. There's a lot more that goes into it. So here you go. Here's what my explanation of visual versus product design was back in 2018. In 3, 2, 1, now. Now, I mentioned that I switched to product design. I was in marketing and graphic design for over a decade. It's what I went to school for, was graphic design. And I've always been obsessed with visual design, but in recent years, I wanted to get into product design and more specifically UX design and going beyond just the visuals of something, but also understanding how people behave and either physically or emotionally interact with something. And so I actually fortunately had the chance to do that this year. And it's been a really wild process, actually, going through this whole kind of discovery phase of, oh, do I really want to change my careers? I've got so far in visual design and as a graphic designer, and I've worked for different companies in different industries and doing freelance work and graphic design and all this. So to almost put that sort of aside and switch to product design, you really have to understand what you're getting into. And it took me about 2.5 years to really get to the point where I just finally pushed myself and went into product design. But it took about 6 months to a year to finally understand what UX design really was and what product design really was. And I kind of touched on it a little bit, the different roles and positions and things like that. And I will definitely talk more about UX design more in detail and graphic design too in detail, and branding and marketing and digital marketing and things like that in future episodes. But for this one, I'm just going to kind of share that story of, you know, maybe you're thinking about doing the same thing of switching your career, and it's really not that crazy of an idea. And what I ended up realizing was, as a visual designer, if you've been in marketing or you've been in advertising or you've been in branding or whatever it is that you've been doing for your whole career, and you want to get into this really cool thing called UX, and you want to get into interactive design, and you want to get more into that type of product design, there is a lot of transferable skills that you have. And there's a lot of crossover, because even though the process is quite a bit different, I think, in terms of how you actually execute on something, the overall goal of product design is pretty much the same as visual design. I mean, we can make pretty pictures all day, but those pretty pictures need to have a purpose. They need to drive a need and an action that we want the viewer or the user to follow. Same thing goes for UX. You can make a cool looking app, but if it doesn't have what the user actually wants to do or it isn't useful, then it's going to fail. So it's the same for visual design, same for product design. You know, you have to have a purpose. It goes back to the basics of, you know, form follows function, that old school, you know, but still very relevant philosophy. And so when you're kind of looking at your skills, you got to really dig. And that's kind of what I ended up having to do, was I had to look and see, okay, all this stuff I've been doing in marketing, mapping out email campaigns and creating these digital marketing campaigns and being a part of things like, I was a part of a mobile app years ago and executing a mobile app in the financial industry. Even though I was more of a brand ambassador, I still had that experience of going through the process and understanding what it took to actually launch an app, especially an app that is dealing with people's banking information. That was a beast. But I didn't really actually design the app myself from the ground up. We didn't really do that anyway in-house. But then I ended up kind of just latching on and obsessing over, I guess you could say, product design when I started to get involved in a company that had product designers, and really great ones too. And that's kind of where you need to do your discovery. If you have the opportunity to design or work with product designers as a graphic designer, then work with them. You know, whether it's just getting involved in their critiques and understanding how they work and function and operate and what's important to them, or whether it's actually partnering up on a project and being that brand ambassador, or being that person that's going to be the liaison to marketing and helping to align the actual campaigns from marketing with the product itself. There's a lot that you could be doing with product designers. So look in the company that you're at, look at the agency that you're at. Do you have product designers, UX designers, whatever it may be? If you do and you're interested in getting in that field, then you should probably get to know them a little bit more, because it definitely helps. It helps clarify a lot of things, if anything. Don't look at it as you're trying to take over their jobs. Just look at it as you're trying to learn what they do, in the case you might want to do it later on in the future. So how does it compare is really the next big question, right? Like how does graphic design compare to UX design, to product design? And there's a ton of differences. If you're used to working in like a waterfall environment, which is the typical project intake where you get a creative brief, everything's submitted, you have maybe a meeting with the stakeholders who submit the creative brief for this, say, marketing campaign that they want to do on a product. And then the team takes it, they do their own design sessions, maybe they do some brainstorm sessions, and they kind of leave out any other team for a little while the creative team works on it. And then maybe a writer works on it, then a designer, a writer and designer work together, design comes first, that's all, you know, depends on the project. And then you send it back to the requester who requested the project, and then they send their feedback back, and then you make updates, and then you send feedback, or the new update, the new design to them, and they send more feedback, and then it usually goes back and forth. But it's this trickle down like waterfall effect, basically. Everything just kind of comes at once. And in product, usually a lot of teams will work in agile, which is something I'm still learning the ins and outs of, but just in the past few months of working in Agile for the first time ever, it's a much more fast-paced environment. And to explain this, because nobody really explained this to me very well, especially in the viewpoint of a designer, but compared to your traditional creative brief, project meeting, brainstorm, create, behind closed doors, send off, done, next project. Compared to that, Agile is very much, it works, first of all, in sprints, usually. And in these sprints that they'll refer to, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a couple weeks, or it could be a couple days. It really depends on the company, I think, and it also depends on the project. But you work in bits, where you look at the big picture, you have this kind of planning session And then you break down the project as best you can into these sprints and work in fast-paced iterations of whatever you need to do. And say, for instance, if you're working on a new mobile app, okay, you may start with like the back-end development of the functionality, and you identify the functionality you want, but then you start working on the login in the first sprint, and then you work in, you know, a couple sprints in the main meat of the app, and then you work maybe in a certain section of the app another sprint. And the point of Agile, though, is you are flexible. So you could get halfway through this project and realize that you need to shift gears a little bit. And fortunately, because you're doing these in quick little iterations and you're doing quick testing and these quick cycles, you can be flexible. It's not like you have to go back and submit a creative brief all over again, or go back to the person that submitted a creative brief and say, well, actually, we got to this point, we spent this amount of time, and what you requested isn't possible. That's not the case. We're not spending a ton of time working on stuff in Agile and then just to find out that it doesn't work or that it needs to be changed. That's so far what I've sort of discovered. So there is a huge difference in the process, and I think that's the biggest thing that most designers need to understand, is the process difference as a designer between graphic design and UX design, between visual design and product design, however you want to call it. There is a difference. So it's, don't worry too much about the Agile environment. You'll kind of get the hang of that, and because that usually involves a lot of developers and other stakeholders in the company. But the biggest difference is how you as a designer should be approaching your design challenges. The process is basically, it's kind of every, it should be every designer's dream, really and truly. And the process of UX, of product, is you are focusing first and foremost on research. There is a massive, massive discovery phase. And I can tell you, in all of my years as a graphic designer, I never really got a true, genuine research phase. You know, creating mood boards rarely happened. Creating personas never really happened, especially per project basis, even if it was a big project. But if you're working on something in product, there is a massive amount of research you need to do, not only to make sure that the product is, that there's a need for this product that's being requested or that's being thought of, but say there is a need, you need to understand the people. You need to understand who the audience is. And it's not just an audience that's consuming, like in a lot of marketing or advertising. It's an audience that is going to be using something from a day-to-day basis. So you need to really get into the mind and into the habits and the lifestyle of these people. Now, for example, I work with seniors, and I work with senior citizens, and I work with them in the fitness realm. Okay, so it's product design, fitness product design for seniors, for older adults. And so my world right now revolves around understanding seniors, understanding people who are 65 and older, and even those that are maybe a little younger than 65, and they might be coming into that age group later on. And so with product discovery phases and this research phase, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time, especially if you're always focusing on usually the same user. In my case, like working in-house at a company, I'm always working with seniors, and I'm always working in the realm of fitness for seniors. So working with seniors, you can build this like archive of how they interact, of how they prefer to use their phones, how they prefer to use the website. It's fascinating to understand too what technology they even have available. I mean, there is a significant difference in all age groups between people who have broadband internet in urban areas and people who have broadband internet in rural areas. A lot of times they may not even have broadband internet in rural areas, not because they chose that, but because it just simply isn't available. And when it comes to the senior population, there's a lot of differences between urban and rural, and a lot of things that could be done to improve the rural aging process, especially when it comes to fitness. So these are things that I've kind of been learning and keeping in mind. But again, even though I don't have to do this research all over again for every project, I do need to stay on top of it. And that's the thing as a UX designer, you may understand and learn something about a user in January, but by, you know, the same time the next year, their habits may have changed completely. I mean, especially if you're talking about younger people like millennials who are constantly shifting how they interact with things, they're discovering new things, they're adopting new ways, you've got to stay on top of that. And I mean, the same holds true for visual design too, right? Like what people's tastes are, what trends are, things like that. But it goes much, much deeper when it comes to product design, and you're really trying to understand how to design the best experience for somebody, because their lifestyles might change. There might be a massive natural event in the world too that could change how people interact with things. Or it could be a whole new audience where you think, well, it's the same age group, it's the same income level, but it's a different place in the world. And so they might interact with something differently. A good example, and one that always stands out, I think it's absolutely fascinating to me, is the difference in texting and communicating on smartphones here in the US versus in developing countries like India. And the reason why there's a big difference, they're using the same types of devices and they're using a lot of the same actual operating systems as well. But where we like to sit and be quiet and just text, we'll say that really fast and it doesn't come out right, text. Where we like to do that here in the US, in India, they're finding that the next billion users of communication are using voice. And that's partially because of, it's mostly because of literacy rates and the fact that a lot of people maybe can't read or write. So they're using voice messages to send voice texts back and forth to one another. And they're finding this high demand of voice messaging, not phone calls, but voice messaging. And watching video content is huge over there. It's huge here in the US too, but it's almost a necessity in India. So it's fascinating to me. And of course, that's not a generalization of all of India. And I'm just using India as one example. There's tons of other developing countries that are growing and getting smartphones. And these smartphones are giving people access to the internet for the first time ever. And it's completely revolutionizing their lives. Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, is another country that stands out. Just Google Myanmar smartphone, and it's just fascinating how they're interacting with these things. So it's constantly changing though, and it changes from day to day. And so you need to do your research ahead of time. That is the first part of the process of any UX or product project. So you have this research. You do some wireframing. You maybe do some quick drawings and mapping of how the user's journey should go based on the research that you've done, but you're not really touching any visuals at this point. And that's the big thing that I think a lot of visual designers, a lot of graphic designers often don't do is they don't sketch anymore. I know so many people that just jump right onto the computer and they do like a high fidelity mock-up of something and they create one idea. I come from a background that was very old school, and it was, you aren't allowed, my first almost two semesters of college, I was not even allowed to really touch a computer. I knew how to use the Adobe software from taking a two-year course at a trade school, so I already knew, I was like, hi, these tools are available, I can make this and look really great. But then I was told, no, you can't touch a computer. You need to do the, 100 thumbnail sketches, you need to do hand rendering drawings of stuff, these rough concepts, and then they took it a step further, and they were like, you need to do super ultra fine hand rendering of typefaces and icons and things like that. So don't touch a computer. And it made you step back and really think about what you were doing. You weren't just creating stuff because the computer could create it. You were really thinking about how to design something, and is everything in this design even necessary? And that's really what this wireframing and the mapping of and doing, after you've done your research in UX, you're really thinking about how somebody's going to go through this experience, not how the experience is going to really look and feel. And then once you do that, you still don't make your high fidelity concepts yet. You then create quick prototypes and you test those prototypes. And this is the part about UX and product that I absolutely love, because I always wish that I had this in marketing. And some marketing teams will do this, and they'll do like A/B tests on the fly, and they'll kind of do maybe focus groups or something while they're creating this campaign. But a lot of times we don't have that luxury, and a lot of marketing teams, a lot of in-house teams, even agencies, they just don't have the timeline, or they don't have the, it's not top priority to do prototypes of their campaign and test to see if it actually works. And usually it ends up, the campaign will be over, they'll take those insights and they'll use them for the next campaign that they do, which isn't always the best practice. But in UX, you do little rapid prototyping. That's where things like the Envision tool comes in. And, you know, you can, I'm actually using Acture lately, which is a really intense prototyping software that lets you do all sorts of cool things. I mean, you can basically design out an entire app experience without actually coding anything. It's not cheating and doing, you know, hiding stuff and moving stuff around like Envision almost does. It's actually creating elements that are interactive. So if you look up Acture RP, which is rapid prototyping, and it's a pretty cool tool. There's other things out there too, like Principle, which creates these beautiful animated prototypes that will, you know, create kind of the interactions that you want to test as well, but very quickly. So prototyping and testing, and then depending on how that goes, you may have to go back to the drawing board and remap everything, rewireframe everything, rethink how you're doing what you're doing, or you can move on to actually start creating more high fidelity concepts. But even when you create those high fidelity versions, you're then testing those as well. You're making iterations and updates. That's where the whole agile environment comes in handy, because you can just constantly improve and change. And you know, you take things week by week, or 2 weeks by 2 weeks, or days by days, and you know, boom, you can launch, test. Nope, this needs to change. Okay, update it, launch, test. Cool, we're good, let's move on. So it's really cool. It's and this is, if there's any product designers out there listening right now, you're probably like, yeah, no kidding. Or you're probably like, no, that's not actually how the process works. But if you disagree with me on any of this, again, tell me and let me know how your process works. But for me and from my experience, this is how I've seen the differences. This is what I've been experiencing in the product world. And for you visual and graphic designers out there, It is much different, and you just need to really understand how that works, and understand too that you are not going to change how that process works. You are not going to be able to come in and say, well, you know, I want to sit with this for a week and not talk to anybody. And you know, that's not going to happen. No, you need to interact with people. You need to interact with stakeholders. You need to interact with users and the audience, which is the other thing that took a little bit of getting used to as well, is to become obsessed and understand the user, you really need to interact with them. And this is something that's really, I have to share, is a little bit nerve-wracking for me, because I'm a little introverted, believe it or not. All right, interesting, right? Kind of a long rant there, 11 minutes about visual versus product design, but I still think some of it holds some merit. Also, sorry for the, probably I'm blowing out your ears with these new recordings versus the old one. It's a new microphone, so a little bit more powerful. Anyway, this next bit, I'm not going to revise either. It's I think it's still a very valuable lesson, and I still think that this is extremely true. And a lot of what I'm trying to explain, I think, in this first episode, and what I was trying to do back in 2018, was really help a lot of you who are thinking of transitioning your career into product design. So I get a little, like, you know, teachy, I guess, of like, this is what you should do. But remember, this is just my ideas and perspective. You know, take it however you want, but also form your own opinions and listen to other people, read other articles, get other information. Don't let me be the end-all be-all for all of your information, okay? anyway, but yeah, I talk about just not talking in this next bit. And learning to listen. Listen to the people you're designing for. This really, I think, also spawned a lot from the research. Something that you don't really get a lot of when you're a visual designer, when you're in graphic design. You don't get to actually listen to the people you're designing for that much. And I'm not talking about your clients. I'm talking about literally the customer themselves. How many times have you, as a graphic designer, if you're listening as a graphic designer, how many times have you just listened to your customers and talked to them? You know, in product design, it's all the time, and it's constant because you have to be, or your product will fail. Whereas I think in graphic design, when you're in the marketing world, especially, you'll generally look at kind of the big data. But I mean, which is good, but there's also a lot of value in that kind of qualitative research of just understanding people that you're designing for. So let's listen to this, and I think some of it still has some merit and some value. It's not really anything I want to add to this either. So here you go. This is my perspective, my reasoning behind why we should learn to listen more as product designers. In 3, 2, 1. To be a good product designer, and to be honest, to be a good just marketing designer too, when you're a graphic designer in marketing, you should be doing this as well, but you should be talking and interfacing and at least listening and having that listening power to just shut up and observe how people work and interact with the stuff that you're creating or the stuff that other people are creating. And you need to also understand how their lives operate, what's important to them. And working with seniors and in the fitness realm, you know, I've gone to fitness classes geared around seniors, and will continue to go to more. It's highly, highly encouraged for actually all the employees at my company, but product especially is expected to go to fitness classes and to actually have that face-to-face time with seniors, as we should be. But another aspect too is gathering research and listening to them. So I've been using a tool called usertesting.com. It's kind of if you don't have a lot of time to actually go out there, if you don't have a dedicated researcher or a big enough UX or product design team, then a tool like usertesting.com, and there's tons of others out there, is great because it actually records people interacting with prototypes and things that you're creating, and then you can hear them, you can usually see them, you can kind of sense their frustrations, you can see where they struggle on things that you're making, and then you can also just simply ask them questions. You can test things that are already out there, or you can ask them questions about how they, you know, do certain things and kind of get instant feedback from a certain age group or a certain income level or a certain fitness level too, if you're working in fitness. But really and truly, the point is you have to listen to the user, you have to listen to your audience, and you have to interact with them as well. And that also goes to kind of getting obsessed a little bit with their world. And again, this goes back to graphic designers, and you know, you should be doing this as well. Even if you're creating, you know, graphic design work, whether it be brands, whether it be marketing campaigns, whether it be, you know, I don't care if it's just a flyer for something. Like, you need to understand who your audience is. And a lot of visual designers fall behind in that. I will admit that I fell behind in that many times throughout my career. But in product, it's so much more of an obsession to really understand the user that, you know, things like even just reading a book about your audience or about the issue that your company is working to solve is just absolutely crucial when you're designing a product. Because you got to keep in mind, you're not designing something that's necessarily being consumed. Okay, say you're designing an app or you're designing a website that's hosting important information for somebody. That is something that they're going to be using maybe on a day-to-day basis. It's not something they're going to see or get in the mail, consume, maybe take an action, and then throw away. It's something that it's the thing that you're driving that action, you know, as a graphic designer, all those years that you have been driving that behavior, that hey, go do this, that thing is is now as a product designer is what that person is interfacing with every day. I hope you get what I'm going on here. But the bottom line is you have to obsess with the person. This role, and I'm learning this very quickly, is you can't just sit behind a computer screen all day and not talk to people. Even inside your own company, I've noticed that I have been interfacing a lot more with project stakeholders and product owners and all of these different entities within the company, developers, especially developers and engineers, getting to understand their world and how things can either be super frustrating to do or can be super easy to do. Just kind of getting into that world, you gotta have that interaction with them. Something we sometimes did actually in the graphic design world is we had like daily stand-up meetings, but it was with just the creative team. So we had like a daily stand-up with just creative and what creative was doing, and it was our own little creative bubble. But as a product designer, I'm now in those meetings for several different teams. In fact, there's three different teams that I'm in stand-up meetings on almost a daily basis with that are for entirely different products. And they're with groups of people from all different backgrounds, from testing to engineering to front-end development to the actual product owner. So there is a much more social aspect to product design than there ever was in visual design. But to go back on that, to me, visual design, graphic design, marketing, things like that, it really should be more social and it should be more interactive with people inside and outside the company. So if it, and maybe I had a weird experience where every company I've worked for has been very, you know, the graphic designer sat behind the screens and kind of didn't say much. Maybe they were in a few meetings. I think in most people's graphic design career, as you maybe move into a director position or something, you obviously talk to a lot more people. But I mean, right off the bat, as a user experience designer or product designer, you're just thrown into those things. You're thrown in front of those people, and you're expected to work together with those individuals, and you're expected to really understand the user. So you need to understand that. If you're very uncomfortable with talking to people, then maybe product design isn't something that you should be doing. Or maybe it is something you should be doing, and it'll push you to get out of that comfort zone. One thing I did, because I really am terrified to talk in front of people, and as a product designer, you're often going to be jumping in front of a whiteboard, maybe drawing something up real quick in front of about a dozen people throughout the company, and hey, what about this, or what if we did this? You got to be comfortable doing that, and that's not something that comes naturally to me. I mean, I've presented campaigns, I've interfaced with people before, but it's never been on the scale that it has been with product design. And something that, believe it or not, has helped me is joining, you may have heard the organization called Toastmasters. It's something I used to kind of like scoff at in years past, but I joined it here at the company I'm with now, and it's genuinely helped me feel a lot more comfortable talking in front of people and jumping in front of people in, say, a hackathon. We had a hackathon at my company a few weeks back, and you know, we were working with all sorts of different entities within the organization for about 8 hours. So it wasn't a full 24-hour hackathon. It was only about 8 hours. But at the end of the hackathon, we had to present our ideas, and each team did. And I was just kind of voluntold, basically, to jump up there with the territory manager that we had on our team and walk through the experience and what we did. And I didn't even bat an eye. I didn't even feel nervous about it either. And I genuinely think that was because of Toastmasters. I had been in Toastmasters for a few months at that point, and I had done enough, you know, impromptu talks and planned speeches that I didn't even hesitate. And normally I get like just knots in my stomach, and I feel like physically sick if I know I have to go speak in front of a crowd or present something, especially if I had just done it or it's on the fly. So there's things that you can do to get out there to help improve. So don't completely shy away from product design if you're scared to talk in front of people, but find ways to maybe sharpen those people skills and those speaking skills. And just know that, like, honestly, everybody gets nervous going up in front of others and talking in front of others. I don't care how big they are. I've heard the biggest, most confident looking people who are just natural leaders and they jump in front of a large crowd and they can rile up an audience and do great things. And they'll sit there and they'll say, every time I go up and talk, I am a complete wreck the night before and right before until I get up on that stage or I get up in front of that crowd. And then I start talking and I feel a little bit better. So you got to really sharpen those people skills and you know, kind of understand that there is a big difference between being a graphic designer sitting behind the screen all day and then being a product designer and just being in tons of meetings or tons of brainstorm sessions and just constantly talking to people and stakeholders and users. It's different. It's really different. And to be honest, it's really, really exciting. All right. So we've got one more little like 2 minute bit that I had recorded in this episode back in 2018. And it was basically me saying why I love being a designer in the product world now and why I love product design so much. And yes, I know, like I said, I'm technically a UX designer, but in practice doing what a product designer does. But I love it, and I'm not complaining about that at all. Actually, I'm quite happy with not just doing UX. The reason I had back in 2018 is still the reason that I have now, and it's the purpose, the meaningfulness, I guess you could say, of the actual, what we do as product designers. We're not just designing something for the sake of it looking pretty. We're not selling something, which is usually you kind of, you know, in the marketing and sales world, it, you know, you have kind of your sales funnel and people go through it. There is retention that happens at later on that can happen through good content marketing and all that. But in the product world, it's literally the thing that is being sold. And in some cases, it could be something that really has a major impact on people's lives, for better or worse, right? If you do it wrong, it could be really bad. If you do it right, it could be really good, and it should be really good. For me, I work right now, as I'm recording this revised version, I'm working in this world of fitness for senior citizens. So that's a big responsibility, helping people live longer, healthier lives. And it's something I'm super proud of, and I'm really happy to be a part of that. And so that's why I love what we do as product designers, because there is a big sense of purpose and there's a big responsibility. There's a lot on the line, especially if you get it this wrong. That can be a little nerve-wracking. It's still nerve-wracking. I think it always will be, and it should be, right? We should be taking what we do seriously, but it's super rewarding in the end. So basically, I just repeated what you're about to hear, which is what I was saying about how much I love product design and being in this world now. So here's what I said back in 2018. In 3, 2, 1, here you go. And so that brings me to, and I'll wrap up here today by kind of saying, like, why is product design so much more appealing than, say, just pure visual design? And for me, it's going to be different for everybody, but I'll share the reason why I like this. As much as I have to interact with people, as much as I have to go out of my comfort zone, at the end of the day, I feel more of a purpose. And I think maybe a lot of product designers will feel this. You feel like you have a much bigger impact in the world by designing something and working on something that somebody's going to use possibly every day of their life. Or, you know, if you, depending on the field that you're in, it could be life-changing, even culture-changing technology or products that you're designing, and that responsibility is in your hands. And it's super rewarding. It's super scary a lot of times, and like, oh my God, like you kind of realize how much power you do have as a product designer and how important that role is, but you feel accomplished. And that's kind of how I look at it. I feel like I have more of a purpose. I feel like I'm not just selling these great products and these great programs anymore. I'm helping to create them. And not to say that marketing isn't important, because Trust me, if anybody understands how important marketing is, it's me. Okay, I love it, and I'll always have a special place in my heart for marketing and what they do. But I just it's pretty amazing being a part of the product world and realizing just how important even the tiniest things really and truly are in somebody's experience with a product. All right, guys, that's it. That is all I got for the first episode. This is a revised outro as well. Thanking you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and this kind of interesting thing where I went back to kind of re-listen to an episode and add some new comments and new perspectives on what I had originally said in episode one. If you did enjoy this episode and you're liking this podcast so far, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're on. And don't forget to leave a nice little rating and review if you can, especially in Apple Podcasts. That's like where it's at. Hopefully Spotify adds that soon. But anyway, it helps share this podcast to more people, helps surface it to more designers, especially people who are looking to get into the world of product design and want to hear the journey of somebody who was fairly new when they started this podcast. But anyway, thank you all again for so much for listening. And if you have any thoughts, any questions, anything that you want to hear me talk about, or anything you disagreed with too, I love hearing other perspectives and being challenged. So be sure to tweet at me, Instagram me, LinkedIn me, whatever you need to find me. Just Google my name, Joshua Reach. You'll find me online. And I will talk to you all the next episode that you listen to, whichever one that may be. Bye.